my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka. And hey, how you doing out there? How goes it? Are you walking the walk? Are you staying strong? Or are you struggling? Or are you somewhere in between? Are you sometimes just a little bit tired of it all? Kind of just wish the whole thing would just be done and wrap up and you can't be bothered with it anymore. You know, life is always interesting. It's this whole thing. You know, you got to remember that God allowed for this dimension to become what it is, to be fashioned into what it's become, and for the experiences of life that we would have, for us to be the ones that would go through them. You know, the lives that we live right now are very different than the lives that people lived 100 years ago. You know, the lives that we will live right now, if the Lord does tarry longer, will be very different than the lives that people live 100 years from now. So, you know, we live a very unique experience. Now, in this fallen dimension, there are some things that will remain constant. You know, be it the things of God or be it the things of the enemy. The enemy will also continue to remain constant in his attacks, constant in his deliberate opposition to truth, to light, to the word. You know, there is the world. Okay, the world system works. It harvests the souls of men and the efforts and the power and the energy of men, and uses that to grow a system that is designed to block out the light, designed to block out truth, designed to keep people from being able to see the light of the truth while they're in earth and while they're on the earth. I mean, that's essentially the effort of the world system. You know, God showed me some things, gosh, when I would have been maybe 21. You know, when he was showing me some of this stuff, I didn't really understand what he was showing me at the time. You know, he revealed some stuff, but I didn't really understand it until, you know, a decade later. Then some of that stuff, you actually, knowledge is added to that. You know, and scriptures say it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. So, you know, we get knowledge as we continue to go forward, but the principles are still there. He still shows and reveals that which will be useful for you in the journey, the information that you need so that you can walk through this life not unaware. See, God doesn't want you and I to be unaware of all that's going on. We are not unaware of the devil's schemes. You know, you and I are very much aware of the attacks, of the agendas, of the plans and purposes of the enemy of our soul, and of what he works to do in the earth. See, when you understand that the goal of the world system is to take... Okay, the world system can't create on its own because it has no life in it. So it needs to get life from somewhere. See, God is the source of life. So, you know, there's life that flows from him. So, you know, for us, when we're connected to the source of life, life just flows. That's why children of God generally look younger than worlders. We generally look better than worlders. I'm just talking on a natural term. Why? Because there's life flowing through us. You know, when life flows through you, you generally look better than something that's dead. When something is dead and cut off, like the worlders, that's when they've got to, you know, paint it and, you know, tie it back and put makeup on it and stretch it and do all of those things that they do to try to make it look better. But have you ever noticed that a child of God, you know, whatever the age is, they just look good? They're just good-looking people. You know, there's just something about them because life flows through them. And something that's alive generally looks better than something that's dead. So, you know, smile, look in the mirror and say, hey, you're a good-looking person. Because you are. Because when you're connected to life, you're a good-looking person. Because life flows through you. And, see, that's just the reality. I'm just talking to you about reality. Whereas, you know, the difference between us and other worlders, they have no life in them. Because they're cut off. They're like branches that are cut off from the vine. Like, you know, Jesus talked about in John 15. So, you know, they're branches that are no longer connected. And so all that happens is they dry up, they wither, and then they're thrown away. They're thrown into the fire to be burned. So the world system can't function without energy. The world system can't function without life. It needs some form of life, some form of energy, some form of something to keep itself going. So where does it get it from? Well, it's got to hunt the children of God, and it's also got to drain the little bit out of whatever's left in those people that were, you know, that are being cut off as well. But ultimately, the prize is a child of God. Ultimately, the prize is somebody that walks with Him, because they are connected to life, so they're incredible energy sources. And you know, so that's why they hunt them. That's why they hunt those souls. And that's why too, when a child of God, if they can get them trapped into a particular situation, they can suck the life out of them for a long period of time. And you know it. If you've walked with the Lord and then you've been in one of those situations, you know what that feels like. When the witches are just draining your life force out of you while they have you in some particular situation. Here's the thing. As a child of God, you can walk out in the realm of spirit. That they can't hold your spirit. They can't hold you. And many times you can walk out in the natural. It just requires some courage. Now, you know, in history, there's been some people that couldn't walk out in the natural. You know, I mean, like Joseph, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know, Esther. I mean, there's been people that couldn't walk out in the natural of those situations, but in the spirit, they're free. But it required courage. It required boldness. It required wisdom. It required them keeping their allegiance to the King of Kings in spite of the situation that they were in, and allowing God to lead and direct their steps in the middle of that. So you've got to have that. You've got to have that willingness in whatever situation that you're in. Otherwise, you know, it's going to get tough for you. Because, you know, as a child of God, the world would love to keep you in its crosshairs and would love to not just target you, but consume you. But God, you know, God is good to His people. And neither height nor depth, nor powers, nor principalities, nor angels, nor devils, nor anything can separate you from the love of God that's ours in Christ Jesus. You know, I mean, we can't be separated from Him. We can choose to walk away. God doesn't override your free will. But if you've chosen to walk with Him, like Mary, in the story of Mary and Martha, I think that's John 10, end of the chapter, verse 42, you know, that won't be taken from her. You know, if you are willing to sit at His feet, and you are willing to pledge your allegiance to Him, and you are willing to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that won't be taken from you. That relationship won't be taken from you. Now, you can choose to walk away from it. You can let it go, but it won't be taken from you. It can't be. You know, that's why even though the world will even legislate itself against God, it'll even pass laws against truth. It'll even pass laws against goodness and righteousness and hope and a future. It'll even pass laws against that which is real, that which is moral, that which is God's commandments. It'll even pass laws. But the truth is that they can't do anything about the condition of your soul or your spiritual alliance. They can try to track you. They can try to monitor you. They can try to triangulate on you. They can monitor your communications. They can monitor your movements. They can do all that stuff, but they can never understand your soul. They can never understand your spirit. They can never understand your walk. That's hidden in Christ Jesus. Who you really are is between you and the Father. They can't tap that. So it drives them nuts, because they just keep trying to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. But ultimately, your choice and your free will is involved. And, you know, that is because that's there. That's why things are set up the way that they are. You know, if, think about it like this, if your free will didn't need to be involved, then why would you be petitioned by the world system the way that you are? If your free will didn't need to be involved. You know, I mean, why would they need to present it the way that they do? And why would children of God be targeted in particular? You know, I mean, the targeting that takes place, it's because you are who you are. It's because you walk with who you walk with. So, you know, in this process of life and us living out in a unique time, realize that the time that you live in is like no other. And, you know, what we live in right now, nobody else in time will experience the window that we experience right now. This is incredible. It's an incredible, incredible time to be alive. Now, what you do with your time is something else. You know, you can be alive during one of the most incredible times in history, but what do you do with that? Do you maximize your time? Do you maximize the season? Do you maximize the resource that you have? Or do you not? You know, do you sit in front of the TV and play PlayStation all day? You could do that for your entire life, you know, and never ever engage in anything. You know, the moments that you have, they're limited. The moments that you have in this life are precious. They really are. That's not to say don't enjoy your time in your window here, but realize that there's certain things that are important and that should be made a priority, and you need to engage in those. You need to make sure that those are part and parcel of your life focus, because if you do that, there's going to be a joy that comes with the life that you live, and even looking back on it, because you'll see fulfillment after fulfillment. You know, sometimes the things that don't work out for you in life, they're huge blessings if you're walking with Christ, but you don't realize it in the time. Because in the time that you're living in, you only see a small window. And in the time that you're living in, you only see a small piece. So with that small piece that you see, you know, you may not realize that, hey, it's okay. But maybe 3, 4, 5 years later, you realize, wow, that's the reason why God didn't want this or that to take place. That's the reason why God intended that I would, you know, not be involved in this. See, you can only be in one place at a given time in the natural. In the realm of the spirit, hey, you can affect all that goes on around the world. In the realm of the spirit, you're limitless, because you are connected to the Father, and He's limitless. But in the realm of the natural, you can only be in one place, one time, engaging in one thing. So, you know, in order to truly be effective, you have to limit yourself for the sake of expression. You have to let go of some things in order to be involved in others. And God will quicken those that walk with Him for what to let go of, and what to hold on to, and what to develop. And, you know, there's one thing about those decisions that you need to make is there will be peace in them. You know, when you engage in the things that God would have you to engage in, there's peace in them. You know, you can look forward to something, you can engage in it, and you'd be like, ah, okay, it's all right. You know, whereas when you let go of the things that are in the world, you don't really regret them that much. You know, I've, throughout my own journey, there's been stuff that God has had me just to drop along the way. And, you know, I look back and I'm grateful. I don't wish, you know, I was working in certain things anymore or involved in certain things that God had me to let go of. Sure, I'm grateful. I'm done. You're done with those things. It's just, you've cleansed your system of that. Whereas the world can't see that far. The world can't think like that. The world only thinks in natural terms. And in natural terms, everything is about power, position, money, pleasure, perception, you know, the bottom line. You know, the bottom line is not worth your soul. Because there's a lot of people that finish up this life with maybe something in the bank, but their spiritual bank is empty. It's completely depleted. There's nothing there. You know, I mean, we've talked recently about storing up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. You know, I've seen a lot. In most recent times, I've seen a tremendous amount of thieves breaking in and stealing, and moth and rust destroying. Boy, I tell you. You know, it's, in fact, it's to the point where you just, for me, where I start thinking, wow, I mean, it's less is more. You know, less is more. I start to see the wisdom of things that were said, like with Paul when he was writing and saying, look, if we got food and clothing, be content with that. You know, there's a tremendous freedom to just having what you need and being content with that. You know, something that God quickened me with a long time ago, but I found it to be true, was he told me, he said, I'll give you the need when it's needed. And, you know, that was just the way that he put it to me when I was starting out, when we were getting going, and particularly when we were involved in, you know, things of the gospel and sharing things of the gospel and doing this kind of stuff. And God just said, look, I'll give you the need when it's needed. You know, and that was good enough for me, because it was like, all right, cool. Because there's a lot of stuff that you don't really need it, though you think you need it. And then there's a lot of things that you'll need along the way, but you couldn't carry them right now, even if you had them. Look, think about the children of Israel. If they were setting out for a 40-year journey, you know, where they had to feed and clothe and a million plus people for 40 years, and if you told them to plan their logistics for something like that, you know, they would have never left Egypt. But God made the provision while they were in the wilderness, while they were in Ra, while they're in the journey. God makes the provision for them. God makes the provision for you. You know, he'll do that for you. You know, if you would trust him in that, you will find that his provision is there along the way. Whether it's something that's simple or whether it's something that is complex, it'll be there for you. So he gives the need when it's needed. But one thing too, and this is a principle I was taught, was look, there's no reason for God to send you manna while you're still in the desert. Or while you're still in Egypt. You know, he gives you manna while you're in the desert. He gives you that provision when you're in that situation. But you don't need it while you're in Egypt. Now, Egypt is a type of the world. So, you know, if you're getting your source, if you're looking to your source being the world, you know, why, you know, then fine, that's your source. You know, God doesn't need to supply you. But if you're trusting him, and you're trusting him to be miraculous and to take care of you as you follow him, that's when you find it. And you find it in those wilderness situations where God does something to keep you going. God does something to keep things moving. You know, you've never seen the children of the righteous begging bread. God takes care of those that are His. That's the truth. That's the word. So He takes care of us. He takes care of you. So now that you know that He'll take care of you, and you know that you're secure in Him, what is that compelling vision that He's put in your heart? You know, without a vision, my people perish. So what is it that God has put in your heart to do, to be a part of, to focus on, to drive, to work towards? Yes, we realize not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we do know that He's the one that does the work in and through us. Yes, of course. But what has He given you a vision for? What has He put in your heart to do? You know, where do you see it? Where? Because right now, in this moment, you know, if you walk in connection, you have what you need. But from that walk, what is it that He's put in your heart? Because you know, Jesus, in His heart, was put from the very start. The vision that God had given Him was to die for the sins of the whole world. The cross was central to His existence. You know, being here and being given up as a sacrifice was central to His time. And, you know, He said, so that was the focus. So even though He was doing miracles and He was doing all those other things, when they tried to come and to promote Him and to make Him a king, you know, I mean, they did that, you know, after He fed the 5,000. And they tried to go make Him a king by force. Jesus, you know, walked away. He slipped away from the midst of them. Now, had Jesus not had a vision of who He was supposed to be while He was here in the earth and what He was supposed to do, He would have gone for that, maybe. Because He would be like, okay, cool, that's the next thing. So sure, I'll go be a king. There's all these voters right here, right now. They're all clapping, they're all applauding. You know, hey, no, but Jesus, no, He didn't come here to do that. Not like that. He came here to pay off a debt. You know, and His kingdom was not of this world. That's what He even said to Pilate. You know, Pilate said, "You're a king?" He says, "Look, my kingdom is not of this world." See, Jesus established a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ Jesus, is an eternal kingdom. All the kingdoms in this world will turn to dust, will be crashed, will be collapsed. You know, the rock that was cut out of the mountain that came and smashed the representation of all the world systems. You know, that the head of gold, the torso of silver, the legs of bronze, the feet of iron and clay, you know, all these different kingdoms represented, but still that same Babylonian system. And that rock came and smashed all of them into powder, and they were blown away, and then it grew into a huge mountain. Now, that rock, Jesus Christ is that rock. And He smashes the world systems and establishes His own kingdom. He smashes the systems of the world and establishes His own kingdom. And that's why every person that walks with Him, your loyalty and your allegiance is to the kingdom of God. Not to an individual world system. Now, we exist in the world, but we're not of the world. So as far as that which the world requires of us does not conflict with the truth and light and the living gospel, sure, you know, we can work together. But it's at that point where they want you to bow your knee before the idol that's been set up, like in Daniel chapter 3. It's at that point that they want your soul. That's when you say, look, I don't got to be careful in answering and according to this matter, because I will worship the Lord my God, and Him only shall I serve. Luke chapter 4, Jesus dealing with Satan, the devil, in the wilderness. You know, you don't have to be careful in answering in those matters. So as far as it is in accordance with that which is also in line with the kingdom of God, sure, it's okay. So, you know, we can do good. You know, and actually, if you look at kingdom people, and if you look at scriptures, and the way that we live out lives here, our civil responsibilities, or any nation with a true child of God living in it is a better place as a result of that person's life and existence. It is. That's just the way it is. Any place that has a true child of the living God there, living, working, existing, is a better off place because of that person's existence. All the time. 100% of the time. Because a true child of the living God is blessed to be a blessing. And they bless, they don't curse, they make things better as a result of their life there. So they share, they have compassion, they oftentimes, God gives them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in very amazing ways, and they come up with things that make that place better and more than what it was. They conduct their affairs with honesty and integrity. They speak the truth. I mean, you know, who wouldn't want people like that living there? The problem is, for the world, is ultimately their allegiance. And ultimately, because they're a child of the living God, who they are is diametrically opposed to the world. So the world, it can't help it. Even though they're good, and they're good for that place, they still want to kill them. And the problem is if you do kill them, if you do get rid of them, there's nothing to stop your own destruction. When the world doesn't have a sufficient number of children of God there to stand in the gap for them, then the whole place is just wiped out, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is a case in point of, look, God even just said, look, you know what, if I can even find 10 righteous in this place, I won't destroy it. Who destroyed those righteous people? Who hurt them? Who got rid of them? Who killed them? Well, it would have happened by the people that were there. Babylon, mother of harlots, in you was found all the blood of the prophets, the saints of all time. That world system hunts the blood of the children of God, but they do so to their own demise, to their own destruction, to their own hurt. But for you, the child of God, we live here, we're blessed to be a blessing. Now God would also have for you to be quickened, because see, there's no need for you to jump out of this life before your time either. You know, there's plenty that God would have for you to do. And Jesus, there's plenty of times that they wanted to get rid of him, and they wanted to kill him, that they wanted to stone him, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. They did all kinds of stuff. But Jesus just slipped from among them, because there was a time for him to die. He had his appointed time. And he was not going to depart this world a moment sooner or a moment after. He was going to leave this world in God's perfect time. And he did. And for you and I, God wants you to leave this world in his perfect time for you. And there will be a perfect time for your life. So while you're here, maximize the window that you have. While you're here, be about his plan and purpose. Allow for the things of God to be your primary focus. Allow for the kingdom of God to be your first love. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and God will take care of the rest. So you don't really have to worry about jobs and work and all that kind of stuff. He'll provide that for you. And the things that he'll have for you to do, they'll be incredible learning experiences. They'll be things that bring joy to your heart. That which God has for you to do is going to be an encouragement to you. So, you know, rather than struggle with, you know, trying to figure everything out here, if you can settle yourself before His hand, if you can settle yourself at His feet, just like Mary did, and just allow for His words to sweep over your soul, and let Him establish your life and your reality, you'll find peace. You know, there's no sense in trying to war against the one that loves you. There's no sense in fighting when it comes to the one that's on your side. You need to align yourself with Him, and out of that place of alignment, let the rest flow. God blesses His people, and God has blessed you. From that place of blessing, thank Him, praise Him, and look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith, because He that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. Enjoy. This day, enjoy. You know what, children of God? You got to enjoy life. You were made to enjoy it. You were made to... God in the garden, He wanted Adam, He wanted Eve, He wanted them to enjoy the life that He'd given them. You were made to enjoy it. So do that. Enjoy your existence, enjoy your time, and be blessed, because God loves you. So, you know, with that, hey, God bless you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for us, Faith Mix, one word, on Facebook, and you can find us there. And, you know what, say hi. And because we appreciate you guys out there. We appreciate your feedback. And, you know, you're going to be all right. You know, all of us are going to be just fine. You know, we're in a journey, but it's not just a journey, it's an adventure. So enjoy. Keep on keeping on. Talk to you soon. Bye.